In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear these words again, which you just heard from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus replied, "Let it be so for the present, for we do well to conform in this way with all that God requires." John then allowed Jesus to come and be baptized. There is one word that is common to each of the statements and phrases I am going to read with you. Frank Sinatra singing, "I Did It My Way." Rosa Parks sitting near the front of the bus instead of sitting in the rear. Frank Schaeffer in our community, after being defrocked as a Methodist minister, saying, "I cannot go against my conscience. I will continue to be a voice of support for the gay and lesbian community." Edward Snowden, publishing thousands of NSA documents. Martin Luther, in 1517, hammering 95 theses to a church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1965, peacefully linking arms with 600 of his fellow marchers in Alabama as they began to walk over the Edmund Pettus Bridge into Selma. The Declaration of Independence. There is one word that connects each of these events. That word is conformity. From Adam and Eve to the newborn of 5 minutes ago, no one can live this life in this world outside of the human requirement to conform or not. We human beings live our lives between the poles of conformity and nonconformity. Some of us will be more identified with conformity, and some of us will be more closely aligned with nonconformity. Jesus is faced with these choices in today's gospel from Matthew. The scene. Jesus presented himself to John the baptizer to be baptized. Because of the ferment and buzz about Jesus, John is hesitant to baptize him. So John attempts to reverse roles and suggests that Jesus should baptize him. Jesus' response to John was a gentle instruction. "Let it be so for the present. We do well to conform in this way with all that God requires." John then baptized Jesus. To conform to the status quo or not. Jesus could not avoid that decision, and nor can we. Our lives, our character, our peace of mind, or our lack of it, our relationships are all fashioned and influenced by the many times we will be faced with decisions to conform or not. Let's take a closer look at the vital importance of conforming and the equal importance of not conforming. Why is it important to conform? Answer, we live in community. We live in relationship to others. Recognized or not, there is a built-in interdependence between human beings. What we say and do affects others. It has been said that there is nothing that ever happens in isolation. Every action has a consequence. We learned in grade school Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. There is a growing body of belief that affirms that even our thoughts affect our bodies and the people around us. For example, there is the yawn reflex. It has been discovered that 42 to 55% of people who see another person yawn will also yawn. The need to reflect others' behavior and attitudes and identify with them is a powerful motivator of our behavior. We must stop and ask the difficult question. Why did Jesus, the sinless one, submit to John's baptism of repentance? Jesus' answer is instructive. John's baptism, based upon repentance, is one way community is established and maintained. It was and is a powerful symbol that God intends for us to live in a mutually supportive community. Those who violate the community must repent to be readmitted to the community. Jesus' baptism was not a baptism of repentance, but it was an act of full identification with the people, the community. That was one of Jesus' primary goals here upon earth, to be in loving relationship with his community. Thus, it is natural for Jesus to say to John, "Let it be so for the present. We do well to conform in this way with all that God requires." Jesus would not have been God's chosen one if he had sidestepped participation in this important symbol of human solidarity. It would be inconsistent of Jesus to pull John aside and sort of say off the cuff, "I'm God's child, his only one. I'm his chosen. I have no need to be baptized." But this would have been out of character for Jesus. He needed to identify with the people, and that trumped every other consideration. His identification with the people became a hallmark of his life and ministry here upon earth. His words and deeds would have been suspect and his deeds hollow if Jesus had not been baptized to show his complete identification with each of us as human beings. Therefore, Jesus knows what it's like to be you and me. Why conform? Because we are interdependent. We cannot violate society's collective wisdom and values without running the risk of punishment. John the Baptist sounded that note loud and clear. Too many in our day and in every day live their lives at the lowest level of decision making. Do what you want, just don't get caught. The avoidance of punishment is the lowest of ethical and moral standards. It is not really moral or ethical. It is driven by fear and not moral virtue. The real problem with punishment is that it is not effective. It doesn't work. It doesn't mold character. It does not affirm a better way. One's awareness is constantly seeking the possibility of being caught and punished, not focusing on values for the common good. Fear of punishment can alter our behavior temporarily, but its great failure is it does not change our hearts. Jesus' life and ministry was not focused upon punishment. It was dedicated to changing hearts. Therefore, one benefit of conformity is to provide cohesiveness and justice in society. But conformity is not enough. An eye for an eye has not produced the kingdom of God. There is need for a better way. The better way is the way of nonconformity. Let's make the case for nonconformity. Jesus was a nonconformist. The Gospels are full of examples of his challenges to the powers of his day. If we are to follow Jesus, what does Christian nonconformity look like? It is the deliberate, nonviolent challenge to existing values, laws, or conventions to bring about a greater good. The goal is to enhance the common good. The key words are higher good and common good. Christian nonconformity is not based upon our personal benefits, but on the common good. Christian nonconformity is made up of those courageous times when we decide to do something that we know is right, even though others do not think so. We are thinking about much more than serious challenges than young males putting their caps on backwards and letting their pants droop below their behinds, or Lady Gaga showing a lot of skin. We're talking about those terrible injustices that we still perpetuate on each other, and the abuses of power that take advantage of the vulnerable. Being a nonconformist is a bedrock Christian American value. We forget that our country was founded by nonconformists who were Christians. The earliest courageous settlers were Puritans, Presbyterians, Baptists, Congregationalists, and Quakers. Later on, the Methodists came, Unitarians, Plymouth Brethren. The Salvation Army came and settled here. They were called, rightfully so, nonconformists. The Declaration of Independence of this country is a towering document affirming the hopes and dreams of those early Americans to pursue a higher good and self-determination in a path to greater happiness. This country was formed on the blood, sweat, and tears of those who sought a greater common good. Being a nonconformist is also bedrock Christianity. Evil, always present, must be resisted and overcome. The greatest challenge we face in the church today is not the fear of our shrinking memberships and our dwindling finances. It is apathy, a failure of nerve. As our rector has said on several times behind the scenes in discussions with leaders of the parish about the future of the church, that our preoccupation with survival would be our greatest failure. Our commitments to the vulnerable, the outcast, the marginalized, must not give way to the fear of loss. To turn our gaze inward and fret about declining members is to lose sight of our reason for being. In the name of Jesus, to seek the common good for every human being. Join voices with others when you can. Compromise often. Resist what you must. At all times, seek to express the mind and heart of Jesus.